This is KDNK Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You are listening to Geek Speak. Support for Geek Speak comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. Louis will pick up and deliver your hardware safely and sanitized. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going pretty well.
Happy late Father's Day.
Thank you.
I was honored to get to have a burger with you for Father's Day. That was great.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah, so, you know, as opposed to our last show, there's just a lot of geek news today, and I'm relieved by that.
Yeah.
So, it's you got anything? Got any fun stuff in your hopper over there?
I don't know if I'd call it fun, but...
Yeah? Is it boring?
Perhaps.
Okay. All right. Good, good.
But, as always, you can call in 963-2976.
Have you... do you use Google Hangouts?
Only with your son-in-law.
Because it's being phased out, and it's causing a lot of mayhem. It's...
Yeah, it's like being moved to being part of Google Voice or something like that. I can't remember the error that comes up.
Oh, you know, so. Google Meet, I think, is what they're, or Google Rooms or something. You know, I know that, because that's pretty much how we've been, you know, getting FaceTime with our grandkids, because there's a non-Apple decree at the remote house. Nobody does. Well, actually, it's a MacBook is okay, but an Apple phone device is not okay. And so anyway, my wife tried to pull up Hangouts on her iPad and basically came up with a message saying that you need to transition to blah-bitty blah. And I'll tell you, the two of us sat there for almost 2 hours trying to make that transition, and never got connected, never figured it out. So, I was just wondering if you had any tips for me.
I was going to say, Lee and I, basically use, Signal, pretty much exclusively for video conferencing.
So that's what we'll maybe try to get them to switch over to. That's not an Apple product, is it?
Nope, but it is available on Mac, Linux, Windows, iOS, iPad OS, and Android.
And it's pretty easy to initiate a new Signal call with somebody that's got, you know, once you got them in your address book, you can just...
Yeah, just like we did on the show a couple months ago.
Okay, cool.
So, and actually, Lee's father-in-law was... Wait. Anyway, he was complaining that FaceTime was being a curmudgeon. It was just, you know, kicking him off every 4 or 5 minutes and everything. We did a Signal call with him for over an hour, and it was just rock solid.
Okay, good.
So he was like, "I have to use my iPad right next to the, you know, the Wi-Fi router," and then he, you know, started walking around, and it held the signal. It held the video call just fine.
Cool.
So, but at the same, on the other side, FaceTime is coming to all the other devices.
Yes.
Here at some point in the future.
Yeah. And I was going to kind of suggest, I was going to go, well, you know, guys, you can get the FaceTime app for your, have they rolled that out yet? Do you know, or?
I'll look.
It's, yeah, I mean, I was going to suggest that they do that. And, so it's, but in the meantime, let's see, there's a couple of pretty fun articles out here today. So the state of Washington has announced that I guess they were actively using a COVID-19 exposure tracking app. Are you familiar with this story? I'm sure you've heard of such things, these apps. I guess... the app is called WA Notify, and the COVID-19 exposure notification tool saved an estimated 40 to 115 lives and prevented between 2,800 and 8,200 cases during 4 months of use this winter. So that's pretty impressive, you know. It's, it's that they can assign numbers like that to it. you know.
Yeah, I wonder what the sigma on that. Well, I guess they gave you the thing, so I guess we could calculate the sigma on that. But that's still pretty impressive. And what do we know? How many does it say? How many people used the app? What, or so we can figure out like what percentage.
Well, let me
came
see.
Through.
Let me parse down here a little bit.
All right. And, yeah, I'm just curious as to like, you know, what's like the peak likelihood of, you know, like, is it like 10% of people were infected, 15-20% of people were infected that use the, you know, whatever that magic number was.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to,
you know,
figure
it doesn't
out.
Look like they're being forthcoming with the total usage number. But they did have 10,084 users anonymously report a positive diagnosis. So, you know, I mean, the fact that it was a way of tracking diagnoses, that's impressive, you know, and that for some reason people felt safe. You know, I guess I can't really say for sure. I mean, maybe there were, you know, 30,000 diagnoses and only 10,000 reported themselves. But I mean, you know, the fact that people were, that they felt safe to anonymously report, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then they can go back and figure out who else has a interacted with them and in the time frame and get all that figured out.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Give us a call. We'll help you jiggle your cables and more.
And more. So I just looked on Google Play Store and FaceTime is not available there yet.
Okay.
So I would guess sometime this fall, but we'll keep an eye on it and
got it.
We'll test it out.
Okay, cool. Let's see here. So we were talking a little bit about the opening of Amazon's first full-size cashierless grocery store. And so I'm guessing you probably have to scan your items with your phone or something.
Yeah, I'm curious how they're, if they're having you scan the with the app on your phone, or if they're doing some sort of like facial recognition with product recognition, or I haven't heard hardly anything about it yet, or if it's kind of like what they're doing with the Kroger self checkout thing with with the little scanner device.
Have you ever done that? Have you never done that?
No nope.
Process. It seems like a bell and a whistle to me.
That was kind of my thought. I was just like, I'm just going to go get my things, put it on the conveyor belt, and let the checkout person do their job.
Exactly. Let the people work. And you can have a nice conversation with your checker as well. Well, Amazon actually, they kind of backtrack on the story and say it isn't completely cashierless. And customers don't exactly just walk out, because those are two of their slogans, is that it's cashierless and you just walk out.
Are they doing a play on words where it's like the customer service representative is there available to assist you?
Let's see. There are a couple of checkers available for people who want to pay with cash. Let's see. Video camera systems keep track of what Amazon Go customers put in their baskets and what they take back out. With the aid of computer vision and artificial intelligence, customers scan a code on their smartphones. The bill is automatically charged to their account after they walk through the exit turnstiles. So it's
pretty automated.
I know. They must have a lot of cameras to be able to catch the barcode, you know, at different angles.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if they're doing the barcode or if they're going, oh, that box looks like a iPad box, kind of, you know, or maybe both.
I can't think of how many different ways that could go wrong. I mean, it's like, no, I didn't buy the Black Angus steak.
Right. You know? No, I got the Chuck Gross.
Yeah, it was a bone for my dog. It was 35 cents. He charged me $12.35 for it. But, no, I would go check one out just for fun. Of course, it's in the Seattle area.
Of course.
You know, where they're doing that, you know. So I guess people in Seattle are used to being crash test dummies for, you know, these types of things. But I would feel compelled to that. I wouldn't feel totally comfortable going there unless I could go there in my driverless car, you know.
Right, yeah, you got to be able to just hop in your car, say, take me to the store. And
yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, shoot, they should have it, like, just the car should be able to go shopping for you, you know. So, You can sit in a little lounge.
I think they have drones for that.
Do they? Exactly. So,
at least in some areas.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you have any tech questions, give us a call. This is GeekSpeak. You're listening to 970-963-2976. And let's see what else is here in the pipeline. I just got a text message from Donna Dalton, and she is tied up today, and she's not going to be able to give us a call today. Yeah. So, but I think we'll be able to get by without her. So, let's see here.
It sounded like Hubble was having some trouble.
So. You made a funny. That was good.
Oh, good. A pun?
The Hubble trouble.
Hubble trouble. So they've sounds like there's some memory that's corrupted or they're having problems reinitializing, and they've tried to switch to backup, and they've tried to initialize the backup memory a few times, and they're having... So it sounds like the memory is not necessarily associated with the... you know, the thrusters and the station keeping and all the computer systems that run the Hubble. It sounds like it's more either an intermediary between the those systems and then the scientific systems, or part of the scientific systems.
Got
where
it.
They're having the
okay
the trouble. And then last time it was what was it? Had maintenance was in 2009, so it's been 12 years since anyone's touched it.
And it's not a ransomware issue?
Right.
The Russians got it. So I just Googled what OS does the Hubble Space Telescope run. And
I think they're usually custom, aren't they?
I'm not getting any love. I don't know. It seemed to me like Linux would be just like a, you know, that would
I was gonna go with like one of the BSD variant or something.
Yeah.
But I think, was it the... The latest one with the helicopter on Mars was the first one. I think it's running Ubuntu.
Is it?
Running I think either the helicopter or the rover is running a Linux package.
Wow. Well, that's awesome because, you know, then the people that are controlling it, they can not only control the device, but they can play solitaire on it as well. So have you noticed that BSD is like the initials for blue screen of death? Have you ever thought about that?
I've always thought of it as Berkeley Software Distribution.
Okay.
But yes, blue screen of death, you're correct.
I know it's left the letter O out, but sometimes we just
sometimes
up a little bit, you know. So
you're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK 963-2976.
Yeah. And unless you want to listen to us drone on about this arcane news stories that we got, I've got a news story about relatives frozen in time on Google Street View. And you know how you come across pictures of people when you're on Google Street View? And I think, aren't they supposed to blur out the faces? Isn't it? Actually, let me look on here and see if the faces are blurred out. No, they're not blurred out. It's so there's a whole Twitter thread. And let's see, the Twitter account is actually kind of funny. The Twitter account is Fesshole, F-E-S-S-H-O-L-E. There's basically a Twitter thread on this, and people are basically are posting pictures of that they came across on Google Street View. And most of the people are like really kind of waxing nostalgic about it. They're like, this is, I get to go and hang out with my dear old mom when she's sneaking out to have a cigarette. And, I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's neat that there's so many moments captured in that system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Boy, it's not even funny. I actually tracked down a friend of mine. You know, I knew that he lived in Spokane, Washington, and I looked him up, and he's got a pretty fairly generic name. There are three different people in Spokane by that same name. And I'm like, well, we're going to Street View. And I basically went to each one of those three houses, and I basically found out which one had a Ford Fairlane parked in the driveway. I'm like, that's the guy, you know, because he's like a devout Ford Fairlane driver. He will never give it up. And so I basically located, like, you know, reconnected with an old buddy that way. So, yeah. So... You seen any security stuff floating around these days, Matt?
You know, I haven't quite been in that world lately. I'm going to have to jump back in here.
It's kind of nice, isn't it, to not be dealing with, I mean, when's the last time you did a malware removal on a PC?
I was going to say, that's kind of, well, I mean, of my clients that I have, like, configured nicely,
uh-huh.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Other clients that randomly appear, it's still just sort of a standard item. It's like, you know, do whatever they need you to do, run a virus scan, run an anti-malware mm-hmm. scan, see if there's any junk on there, check the plugins for their primary browser, make sure there's no unexpected ones there, and mm-hmm. delete them if there are.
Yep, exactly.
That's just kind of standard practice still.
Yep. So let's see, what else do we have? What else is buzzing out there?
So how do you get your fire weather information?
I go to InstaWeb. I think that's the right answer.
Is it like incident web or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. And actually, that's not fire weather. I usually just go to NOAA for fire weather.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like when I'm trying to figure out where all that smoke's coming from,
mm-hmm.
InstaWeb is the hot ticket.
All right.
You got a good one?
Yes. Yeah, so fire.airnow.gov.
Okay, I'm pulling that up right now.
Yeah. So basically, it's a picture of everything. And then they have a whole bunch of air sensors. So they'll figure out how much particulate matter is in the air. And then there's it's called AQI. And so they assign uh-huh. the number based on that between zero. And I think the highest I saw during the.
It's like 500 or something.
A 9 something.
Oh.
980
Ooh.
Or something.
Okay, got it.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's like the amount of particulate in the air. And.
Uh huh.
Anything over, I think, 75 or 100, you know, if you're a sensitive individual, you'll uh-huh. probably get a sore throat and have
yeah
respiratory problems. But they have a great map, and it'll show you where the smoke is, where detected fires are, so that's one. And then, like, the actual, like, little flame ones are ones that it pulls off of Incident Web.
Uh-huh.
And
so are the little green squares, are those the sensors?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because we got a problem here, Houston. There's a lot of little green boxes.
Yeah. No, you're looking for the kind of orange fire-colored ones or the detected
yeah, yeah.
fires. And
yeah,
then
definitely.
Then the blue, or excuse me, the circles and the squares are different types of sensors. So some of them are uh-huh. like high quality sensors, but a lot of them are low quality sensors, as they call it. I can't remember the
yeah.
the definitions.
Yeah. So I guess yesterday's big smoke incident was due to this oil springs fire. Are you familiar with that
yep.
one? Yeah. And I guess they're not going to do anything. It's not threatening any structures, and it's in a remote area, and so they're really not going to do anything about it. They're just.
They're going to set up a line where it might threaten structures and call it good.
Yeah, they're going to just let it burn itself out. So,
that's right. We need to do that. That's yeah. important.
It is. It's you know, I was pretty impressed going through the canyon the other day, just how well the canyon has rebounded. You know, there's a lot of new growth, you know, under the scrub oaks, and so.
Yeah, it's nice to see it. The Phoenix come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's. I mean, these things are. Nature does them for a reason. So. Yeah, no, InstaWeb, you can, like, geek out on, like, you know, how many engines and how many tenders and, you know, how many VLATs they're using to drop, you know, retardant on the fire and so on and so forth. And we actually heard, I thought it must have, we heard a VLAT flying overhead.
Yes, I saw two.
Yeah.
Two last night. I think yeah. they usually go in pairs. The smaller,
oh, the spotter plane,
yeah, and spotter plane, yeah. and then a drop plane. But they're both yeah. the same. Look like the same model.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
So it's the smaller one.
Yeah.
I bet they're just kind of going up there to get the size and shape and
the lay of the
report.
Land. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's a sad commentary that we're that familiar with firefighting technology and terminology. You know, hopefully we get into a climate cycle that is not quite so austere. We went camping last year, and camping without a campfire.
Yeah, you have to go before Memorial Day or late, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they held the fire ban until November, even. Maybe it was later. I can't remember.
Yeah, very possible. I'll give you guys one more chance to call in, 970-963-2976. We've got about 4 more minutes. And if you've got a burning technology issue, I mean, shoot, if you got any kind of a burning issue, give us a call. I mean, we'll take a stab at it. And so if nothing else, we'll Google it for you.
Right.
Because, you know, that's one thing that Matt and I are. We're expert Googlers. It's a little known fact about computer guys. It's pretty much what we do is we Google things for people.
Well, it's so. But you have to know the name of what to Google.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like we have a dictionary of words that we use to to find different things about the computer and figure out how to repair them, fix them. And
not only that, but you need to – we've been doing this long enough that we like actually kind of think like Google does, you know. I mean, or we know how Google thinks. Let's put it that way. So – and I don't know. Do you still use Google, or are you like a DuckDuckGo guy?
I'm pretty hardcore DuckDuckGo.
Are you?
Okay. At least for technical problems, I'm trying to think of the last time I had to go. I searched DuckDuckGo and I went, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm. It's been quite a while.
DuckDuckGo said that to you, or you said that to it?
Both. Well, so I searched for something on DuckDuckGo, and this is probably 2 or 3 years ago, and I went through the first 2 pages of quote-unquote answers, you know, responses, and it just was not finding what I needed to find, and I went and did the same search on Google, and it was like, okay, I got this.
Got it.
So, okay. But that it's been, I think, you know, 2 years since that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, for non-technical uses of DuckDuckGo, I don't know if it's gotten better or not, because I know one of the people who called in said, oh, I couldn't find what I was looking for, and it was something non-technical.
Yeah. So is DuckDuckGo powered by Wolfram Alpha, or is that like a way thing of the past? Or, you know?
I think it's on its own. I think they're on their own, if I recall correctly.
Okay, got it.
And they do have a nice.
I haven't pulled up Wolfram Alpha for a long time.
And, yeah, I don't,
we all thought that was going to be the way of the future at one point, and
because I know for technical questions it's supposed to be excellent, but I haven't used it very much.
Got it. Yeah, actually, they're really going towards like plugging in calculations, using it for calculating.
Yeah, things. So if you say how many X are in Y, and it'll
got it.
It'll return. I think you're right, because
how many hectares in a?
How many hectares in a acre?
Is that a question?
Well, it would be the other way around.
Okay, me.
So how many acres are in a hectare?
How many acres? They don't call it Geek Speak for nothing.
No. So. And I do know the answer. So.
I'm like, oh, I misspelled hectare. It's giving me a dumb look. 2.471. Just for the record. So. Yes. And let's see. I've got a couple other stories here we can cover. We just got 2 minutes. 1 minute. There's a new competitor to Tesla. We talked about that a little bit. The car is called Lucid, and they have set up their first storefront in a previous Microsoft store space in a mall in, you guessed it, Seattle.
So it's a luxury sedan?
It is, and it looks strikingly similar to a Tesla. It's I don't know if you can see that or not with your
Yeah. Well, it's that low drag. These are all the Audi TT was kind of the forebearer to most of these.
I did not know that.
Well, if you look at the Audi TT was the first one to have that kind of teardrop shape, and
okay.
So
got it.
Look at how similar the first early generations of the Audi TT is to all of these low drag
got it.
Cars now.
Okay. I've always wanted one of those, by the way. So my birthday's coming up. So
I don't know if they still make it or not. Although first generation might be cheap now.
There you go. Really cheap.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McGrath from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
All right. And we'll be back on July 21st.
Wow.
Wow.
Because we're taking July 5th.
Excuse me. July 19th.
We're taking the fifth off.
Yeah. Yep.
So, anyway, in the meantime, do not touch your knob.